He'd thought that they might find some place in the road where the snow had melted off completely. But then he thought that since their tracks wouldn't reappear on the far side, it'd be no help. They kicked snow over the fire and went on through the trees and circled and came back. They hurried, leaving a maze of tracks, and then they set out back north through the woods, keeping the road in view. The site they picked was the highest ground they came to, and it gave views north along the road and overlooked their back track. He spread the tarp in the wet snow and wrapped the boy in the blankets. "You're going to be cold," he said, "but maybe we won't be here long." Within the hour, two men came down the road almost at a lope. When they'd passed, he stood up to watch them, and when he did, they stopped, and one of them looked back. He froze. He was wrapped in one of the gray blankets, and he'd have been hard to see, but not impossible. But he thought probably they'd smelled the smoke. They stood talking. Then they went on. He sat down. "It's okay," he said. "We just have to wait. But I think it's okay." They'd had no food and little sleep in 5 days. And in this condition, on the outskirts of a small town, they came upon a once grand house, sighted on a rise above the road. The boy stood, holding his hand. The snow was largely melted on the macadam and in the south-facing fields and woods. They stood there. The plastic bags over their feet had long since worn through, and their feet were wet and cold. The house was tall and stately, with white Doric columns across the front, a porte cochere at the side, a gravel drive that curved up through a field of dead grass. The windows were oddly intact.
"What is this place, Papa?"
"Shh. Let's just stand here and listen." There was nothing. The wind rustling the dead roadside bracken, a distant creaking, door or shutter. "Let's take a look."
"Papa, let's not go up there."
"It's okay."
"I don't think we should go up there."
"It's okay. We have to take a look."